Now, here's a preview of Powerful Women Revealed.
You can play the game and you can act out the part, though you know it wasn't written for you. But tell me, how can you stand there with your broken heart, ashamed of playing a fool? But one thing can lead to another. It doesn't take any sacrifice. Oh, father and mother, sister and brother, if it feels nice, don't think twice. Just shower the people you love with love.
Good afternoon, and welcome to WATD's Powerful Women Revealed, created and hosted by Nicole Perry. You're invited to enjoy an ongoing series of personal and educational discussions with a variety of women that want to educate, inspire, and bring awareness to the community. These women all have a powerful mission and appreciate the opportunity to share their stories, milestones, and successes with you. Here's your host, Nicole Perry.
Good afternoon and welcome to Powerful Women Revealed. My guest today is a licensed, independent clinical social worker, a blogger, speaker, and author. She has been a lifelong writer and uses the written word as a voice for her life experiences. She recently self-published Graceful Woman Warrior, a story of mindfully living in the face of dying. The unique memoir is a culmination of a promise she made to her niece and co-author, Terry Luana Da Silva, when her niece whispered to her, "I think I'm dying. I want you to tell people." Oh, the goosebumps. Mm-hmm. The book is a bold blueprint for navigating the sacred cycles of life, death, and living beyond. Lori O'Neill, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Nicole. I'm really so happy to be here.
Oh, the goosebumps are already starting, and I'm going to try not to keep saying that over and over again. Mm-hmm. And welcome to Team Power Taunton.
So excited to join.
Oh, and I have like three referrals on the desk right now ready to give you.
Very exciting.
The group is fantastic.
It is.
And when you shared right away, we're off script already, but when you shared when you came to the meeting, mm-hmm. of all the connections that brought you to me and that you've had since me, mm-hmm. I'm just so, my whole body is goosebumping.
As is mine. And I find that is the very, very huge piece of my life. Mm. Tapping into the serendipity that's out there. The universe just opens these doors and you have to walk through. And that's what Terry taught me, actually.
So we're going to talk all about the power of story, mm-hmm. right? It was really Terry's powerful story. Mm-hmm. She was your niece. I thought she was your sister.
Well, her mom was my sister.
Yes.
And her mom died of cancer 2.5 years before Terry was diagnosed. So it has been a very long journey
with
this very challenging diagnosis. Yes.
Yeah. So mm-hmm. she was diagnosed with breast cancer as well?
No, she had biliary duct cancer out of the blue, very rare. It's been part of our journey and part of Terry's daughter Marissa, who is now 10, and she was 5 when her mom died, and she was 1 when her Nana Canada died. Mm. So loss and grief, it's universal. It's part of all of our stories, but in particular for me, that's been my focus of most of my career as a social worker, grief and loss.
And just to really put it out there, Terry is part of the co-author of the book.
She is the primary author. It's taken directly from her blog. So when she was diagnosed, she started a blog and she chose the name Graceful Woman Warrior because that's what Luana means. My sister named her Luana. And a funny story, when Terry was born, it was Luana Mountainborn Robinson. My sister and her husband were hippies and they lived off the land. And when Terry turned 12 and they were moving to Vancouver from Halifax, she said, "I'm changing my name." And my sister said, "Okay, sure. What do you want it to be?" And she chose Terry. They all agreed on it. But when she was diagnosed, she re-embraced Luana. And that's where the name of the blog and that's where the name of the book came from.
And her daughter is Marissa.
Marissa Alegria Da Silva. Alegria means love.
And she is also an author.
She is a co-author.
So
part of managing grief, for me especially, has been writing. It's always been writing for me. And Marissa loves to write, as her mother did. I mean, her grandparents are authors. It's part. It's in the blood, so to speak. So when she started experiencing the real depths of the grief as she got older, at six, actually, I said, well, do you want to write a letter to Mommy? And she said, yes, Auntie. So that's how it says. And then I said, Marissa, would you like me to put it in the blog? Because what happened was I continued the blog when Terry passed. I continued the blog for Terry at her request when she was dying because she wanted people to know.
So she didn't know it was going to be a book.
She did. She wanted me to publish the blog into a book. And literally in her hospice room, we wrote it on a piece of paper. I give Laurie O'Neill permission to publish my blog. And she signed it. I signed it. Her husband signed it. And her best friend, Nicole, signed it. So it was my destiny from the beginning. And I embraced it.
So when she whispered that to you, did you know? Like, how did you feel about taking this on? Because this is a pretty big commitment.
It was a no-brainer for me.
Yeah.
It just settled into my heart and into my soul because it was what I was destined to do.
But you have no... Did you have any idea what self-publishing was going to be
That was a whole other story.
So that's what I'm saying. This is like a really considerable promise you made without even knowing.
Didn't blink an eye. I was literally lying next to her bed. We always slept at the hospice with her. We took turns. And that's when she turned to me in the middle of the night, and we would have the most intimate conversations between like 4 and 6 a.m. And she just said, Auntie, I think I'm dying. I want you to tell people. And I said, honey, what do you want me to tell them? And that was my first blog post, and it was a message from Terry, and it's in the book. But what's interesting, when you asked that question of me, I realized that I had been chronicling this story for a long time. When she was 40, she was turning 40, and she was determined to celebrate with her best friend, Auntie Nicole, who's in the book, Auntie Cole. So we flew to Chicago, like 13 of us, to celebrate. Now, she is in her third round of chemo. It's not working. She is failing. She gets off the plane.
Stage four
from the gate, when she was diagnosed. So she lived fully for 3 years with stage four metastatic breast cancer. But she broke her hip, Nicole, when she got off the plane. So we ended up spending 5 weeks in Chicago at Northwestern. She had a hip replacement. So between Nicole and I, we tag teamed and stayed with her. And towards the end,
That's how weak you can get from taking chemo.
And the bones definitely are impacted by all the different meds she was on. And that's why she struggled so much with Western medicine. She really tried to balance it naturally using alternative medicines. And that was difficult because people didn't agree with her and her family and friends. And yet, that was how she had some control over her life. But she did her last blog post in Chicago, and I was sitting next to her, and her left arm didn't work anymore. She had lymphedema. So she had a voice recognition program, software program. It took her 3 hours to do that last blog, and it was called Life and Death. And I was sitting there, and I asked her numerous times, do you want me to type for you? And she said no, because writing, as you know, is such a personal process.
It's got to come out my fingertips.
But bearing witness to that, I was chronicling everything for Team Terry, which is like 30 people who loved her dearly, friends and family. So I was sending emails almost daily to this group. So I had already started writing this story, quite honestly.
So you would, wow.
And embraced it because it healed me. It helped me to live and be with her through this dying process.
But you also have years of experience.
Well, it all started when I was 8, Nicole.
when you lost your dad.
And
but not even the personal experience.
Well,
like being a clinical.
But that's why I chose to become one, because when I was 8, they shipped the 3 young kids out. Me and my two sisters got shipped away. We didn't get to go to the funeral. We didn't get to say goodbye. I was like at my aunt's for 2 weeks. I saw my mother once. And we didn't talk about it. So I was alone in my grief. And as an adult, I was drawn and driven to make sure that other children were not left alone in their grief.
Mm. So basically, you became a social worker because of that.
Absolutely. No doubt in my mind. And who specializes in grief and loss? Hello. I mean, yeah, definitely.
That's a lot to take on other people's emotions, though, but you feel like it's just second nature
to you. It's completely second nature to me.
It doesn't feel heavy.
It feels heavy, but it lightens when we do it together. That's the whole point of therapy. That's the whole point of connection. That's the whole point of relationships, Nicole, right? I mean, when we're at Team Power, say, and somebody shares something, like happened at the last meeting, we were all there to embrace that person that needed our support. And that's the key, I believe, to life, to living a life full within the face of what we have to go through, grief, death, loss.
Okay, well, we do have to go to break, but well, I don't know if this is going to be real quick, but how has helping her share her story transformed you?
Completely. I mean, I could cry because I think she knew what she was doing when she asked me to do that.
Yeah.
She knew I needed this because I literally believe that's how I found my way without her and kept her with me. And Marissa asking, she probably knew I was going to ask Marissa because she knew me. She knew that I promised to help parent Marissa, you know, with her dad, to provide that motherly, you know, guidance and inspiration and to dream big and live a full life.
And do you
life.
Have your own kids?
Oh, I have three. Yeah. They're adults, you know, so they're also surrogate moms. My two daughters, especially Jamie, who lives in town with us. She's her another mom, too. We have a village of mothers.
I was just going to say,
a village of mothers.
You've got a village. All right. Well, we do have to go to break. I hope you stay with us. My guest is Lori O'Neill, and you can go to gracefulwomanwarrior.com for more information. I hope you stay with us. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD. One of my favorite things to do is write. Hi, I'm Nicole Perry, and I'm excited to tell you that soon I will be releasing my debut book entitled I Am on a Love Diet. I share my amazing concept, and you can be on a journey with me through my confessions and many revelations throughout. My book is practically an experiment by building upon one achievable decision at a time. A grapefruit diet is not realistic. A love diet is personal. My love diet book is scheduled to be published this fall, and you can be one of the first to get your hands on a copy by signing up for a sneak peek at chapter one today. Visit powerfulwomenrevealed.com.
Since 1894, the Woodward School for Girls in Quincy, Massachusetts was founded to create a sense of community, wholeness, and independence in young women. In their traditional all-girl environment, the Woodward School for Girls has been committed to building confidence in their students through their amazing academic, art, and sport programs for 125 years. Each student at the Woodward School for Girls is encouraged to find their voice by bringing forth their best work ethic so they can learn to lead. Learn more about their rolling admissions at thewoodwardschool.com. Today.
We are are back. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. What a beautiful song.
Nicole, that is my Terry song and my Jeannie song, my sister's song. So that is the song that there's five girls in my family. And we always sang that to my mother at every event. We're a very musical family. And it is our love song to my mother and to each other. And that song appears on the radio when I need it the most. I'll never forget the night I left hospice and I knew it was coming soon, her death. And this song started playing and it played repeatedly, Nicole, the whole ride home. It was on Pandora.
Oh.
And it just kept playing. And I just sang and I cried and I, you know, sat with it. And that's the key,
I think. That is very interesting.
Yes. Well,
it's really interesting.
And it keeps them present in a way in my heart, in their spirits. And everybody makes fun of me, my family, husband. Oh, here she goes, spirit. There goes Lori, you know. But yeah, I do believe. I totally believe, you know. And so does Marissa.
And it helps you heal.
It so helps you heal.
And it helps you live.
It does. Live fully and embrace their story in your own.
Now, you chose the Serenity Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
For those that don't know what it is, it's God, give me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Mm-hmm. And so you chose this as the framework for outlining the book. I think that is phenomenal.
It came to me. So the second year after Terry died, she died on December 5th, I knew I had to begin this writing journey. I went to Provincetown, which is where my family's from, and went to a hotel and started to sift through the hundreds of blog posts and thousands of comments. How am I going to tell the story in book form?
But you never have to worry about the universe has your back.
And that night, as I immersed myself in her story over and over again, it just came to me. Now, Terry and I were both lifelong seekers, and the Al-Anon 12 Steps program was always a part of our journey, and the Serenity Prayer is a form of mindfulness. It's how to look at each piece of your day and say, okay, what can I do about this? I have to accept this has happened. What control do I have or don't have? And how do I know the difference? So it just made perfect sense to put the book in that form, because Terry had to accept that she had cancer. There was no way around that. Then she had to look at, the courage to change the things I can. What do I have control of in this journey? How can I live my life with this horrific diagnosis?
Because she has no idea how much time she has left.
Nobody knows. And that's the key. And that's the thing that mortality puts right in front of your face. Right in front of your face. When someone you love is faced with it, or when you are faced with it. And it leads to a space of a choice.
Like,
are you going to live fully? Are you going to give up? And that's what she chose. And that's the wisdom to know the difference. By tapping into the universal wisdom of all grief and loss. And I mean, we all have to face it. And what are we going to do with it? So that's how I came to that framework. And it works perfectly.
I think it's brilliant.
Yeah.
I think it's brilliant. And I think it's brilliant that you were open to receiving the guidance of which way to go.
Totally.
And you just, of course, we all sit there and wonder, how am I going to do this? How am I going to do that? Mm-hmm. But when you just let go of the how, and you know, it'll come to me.
Yeah.
That's
it was
gonna
so
come
interesting, because right at the end, before I was going to the publisher, and her cousin Jeannie from New York did the gorgeous cover of this book, and she's a graphic designer, but she'd never done a book cover before.
Oh.
And it is absolutely stunning what she's done. So I was just trying to figure out, you know, I had it all formatted, and then I was like, oh my gosh, I need to add an Enso. So an Enso is a universal symbol from Buddhism. My sister was a Buddhist, Terry was a Buddhist. And it just means, you know, light and life and enlightenment. So I added the Enso, and that's my actually brand, Graceful Woman Warrior, within an Enso. And it's in the part one, part two, part three, under the Serenity Prayer.
Well, your branding is brilliant as well.
Yeah.
And it's all important because it's all what you stand for.
Yeah.
It's everything that you stand for. And in the next segment, we're going to talk about grace lessons.
Yes.
But right now, what do you, what do you wish that people would focus on when they are knowingly have a loved one mm-hmm. facing cancer or dying,
mm-hmm.
Or if they're going through cancer themselves, what do you, or any kind of terminal illness, what do you wish that they would focus on?
I just hope that they recognize the time is now. Mm-hmm. You have to show up mm-hmm. because guess what? You don't know how long you're going to have with this person. And you have to, you know, be aware and listening to what they need and what they want. And showing up looks different for different people. You know, I mean, I chose to be present in the house, you know, supporting Terry and babysitting for Marissa and bringing in as much life and support as possible. Other people would send cards. Other people would order bread and send it to her house, you know, from the... So whatever you choose to show up. Choose to join in. Choose to love and embrace them through
in
the journey.
In whatever way that you can.
Absolutely.
Because people are going to be grateful.
Oh my gosh. It, you know, sitting with her next to her in chemo, I mean, she would go to appointments alone and it would drive me bonkers, you know, because her husband would be working and, you know, she'd have to get a sitter and she didn't have somebody staying at the house at the time and I was living, you know, far. She was in Ohio at the time and it was like, it would drive me bonkers. But that was her journey that she had to take. So as soon as I would arrive, of course, I would make sure that I would be with her just to have somebody to sit with.
Yes, yes.
You know, so those are the little things that can make a huge difference.
So I can't remember because I haven't read the book not yet and I am gonna read the book and I can't wait to read it and I was sneak peeking at it but I'm writing my own book right now
so I'm trying
to tie my hands from reading it just yet. I can't remember if it was Terry that said cancer is a teacher.
She did, and
do you believe it is too? And we have to go to break,
but yeah, I want to read what she wrote because I feel like it's definitely
okay.
So Terry said, cancer is a teacher, some twisted Zen cone, which is like a parable that I have to figure out, my cross to bear. Who's to say one person's cross is worse than another's? Every cross is different. Mm-hmm. They all bring pain. And yet our crosses can also force us to ask big questions, reevaluate priorities, make a commitment to living a fuller life. Amidst the turmoil, we can try to make peace with our crosses, figure out why that particular cross is ours to bear, understand the lessons contained in the suffering, and use it as an opportunity to grow, learn, and discover who we truly are. To all of you out there with a cross to bear, I feel your pain. We're all in this together. As my dad, author Spider Robinson, said, shared pain is lessened, shared joy increased. So let's all keep sharing.
Wow. Oh, my God. All right. On that note, we have to go to break. My guest is Lori O'Neill. You can go to GracefulWomanWarrior.com for more information and to purchase the book. I hope you stay with us. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD. Hi, I'm Nicole Perry. My mission has always been to support women, and I'm still doing that through my radio show, Powerful Women Revealed. Now I'm creating additional opportunities for women to come together. We focus on personal balance, fine-tuning our business models, and preparing for our futures. Give yourself the gift of personal and professional fulfillment. Check out our new membership levels at PowerfulWomenRevealed.com.
Hi, I'm Tara Menard with Tara Menard Coaching. The reason why I love Powerful Women Revealed and keep coming back for more is because with Nicole's help, she brings clarity to my mission. Join the movement and tune in every Sunday after the news at noon and support the women in your community and beyond.
A feather in the wind. this to end or just begin?
Are back. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. And of course, that was Led Zeppelin, All of My Love. For this segment, we're going to dive into these grace lessons because you're not stopping everything at the book. You are continuing with the journey and the branding and the messaging and sharing and supporting. Yeah. So tell me about your grace lessons workshops.
So it's interesting because as Marissa and I were leading up to publishing the book. We did a book trailer, and what we kept coming back to were the lessons that Mamai, that's what she called her mom, Brazilian, it's Portuguese Mamai, taught her. And Marissa opens up our book talks with saying, Mamai taught me to live life fully. Even when things aren't going well. So these grace lessons are embedded within the story, and I just felt they were a perfect segue into creating a workshop for folks to dive deeper into their own stories. They shine a light into the pain and suffering of loss, but the light they shine is around hope, remembrance, resilience, and then living fully in the face of loss. So I've structured it around the Serenity Prayer as I did in the book.
Perfect.
So, yeah. Part one is actually called Acceptance, and I have experiential exercises in each segment. So you're looking at your loss in the first section and you're exploring it a little deeper. So creating a grief timeline is one of those, and you literally look at the losses through your life. Writing a letter to somebody.
Creating a grief
timeline. Huh. And it makes you really look, because loss is cumulative, Nicole. I mean, my father's death was the first, and there have been many after, and each one informs the next. It shapes your acceptance and understanding and healing from. So it's important to take a look back. And then writing a letter to somebody that you love that has died, and then imagining what would they write back. So it's really looking at that person.
Oh,
okay, so that's the first
part.
It is. It's a very emotional workshop, but it's a healing workshop, and it's a sacred and safe space within to do it.
Is it a one workshop?
Well, it's interesting because I'm trying to figure it out. I had to really make it a mini workshop because I'm presenting it at the Mindfulness Summit in New Bedford. Elevate in November, but I only have 75 minutes to do it. It really could be a day-long workshop, the one that I created originally.
But it's a lot of emotion.
It is.
So you really need to take it in bite-sized pieces.
Absolutely. And so the second part is activation. Okay, so now what can I change? And that's the section where you figure out what's important. This is your new normal now. So you take a look at yourself and do a personal mandala as a self-discovery tool, a courage to change exercise. So these are different. This is in the big workshop, courage to change exercise. What do you want to surrender? What's not working for you? And then the last part is the awakening. It's the last section. And you do a strength inventory, looking at positive coping skills, how to manage your pain.
Even some forgiveness in there.
Oh, absolutely. Of yourself.
Right?
And of, because, and then the life imprint one is where you look at that, because that's where you take a look at the person that you're thinking about, and you look at the traits that some are positive and some are negative that they pass down. And which ones do you choose to take and carry forward with you in your life? And then I also have them write a letter to themselves, so that what do they see them? Where do they see themselves in 6 months in their grief journey, in their life journey? And there are some questions that they can ponder as they write the letter. And then I mail it back to them 6 months later.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
Yeah.
Oh.
Because you're putting it down on paper. You're writing it down for yourself.
Writing is so important for therapy.
It's been my therapy my whole life. I mean,
me too.
I started journaling when I was a kid. I did, because I had to put my grief somewhere, because it was not able to be used outside. I started journals for my kids when I got pregnant, because I was not going to let them not know me. When I searched for my father all those years in all the wrong places, And I wanted to make sure they knew me if something happened to me. So yeah. I ended up giving it to them when they got married, for heaven's sakes, because I wrote them all their lives, you know?
Wow.
And what a gift, you know, for me, but for them as well.
You were determined, but you also, you made a decision.
Yeah.
It really, a lot of things are about choice, but then once you make the decision, mm-hmm. like you made that decision, you were not going to let them not know you, who
exactly.
you are. Yeah.
Because that's what happened to me. And I think that's why sharing our stories is so critical, Nicole. Because that's how we learn these new doors to walk through, to manage, and to embrace the joys that on the other side, because there is joy on the other side. Mm. Terry's book is filled with joy as well as heartache.
And you really, you know, it's not just for the person, the book, to read the book. Mm-hmm. It's not just for the person that's going through cancer or a life-threatening illness or knows somebody who is. It's also somebody of, you know, a seeker of strength, like
Absolutely.
You say. And somebody that specifically wants to, I love this, willing to meet the pain.
Yeah. Because we all have it. And when you run from it, it certainly doesn't go away. And it comes out in the wrong way in our lives, ways that are not healthy for us. So again, it's not easy. It's hard work, but it's so worth doing.
Oh my God. So meet the pain. Hello, pain. How are you? How does it feel?
Yeah. And what can we do today together? And how are we going to navigate this journey together?
And you really, you're helping your attendees, you know, hold the stories.
Yes.
But
not letting the story hold them.
Thank you for saying that.
Because when we don't look at it, when we stuff it away, and it just aches inside, and it
well, we manifest
absolutely
our own illnesses. I believe that, and but I don't know. Do you
well, that was a huge, difficult question that both my sister and Terry asked. You know,
did I manifest this myself?
Right, and I firmly believe no. You don't cause yourself to have cancer. Absolutely not. That's a given. That's a no. That being said, how you manage your disease and your illness, and how you treat yourself and take care of yourself within that is the key to health. I'm talking health in a general sense, not, you know, how many cancer cells you have, but your health in your soul and in your heart and in your life.
Yeah. And really, if you have something that that's generational, goes from generation to generation, if you're not treating your body with respect, then you might easily accept something in your body that was a generational. Yeah, there's so many things we could discuss here.
And I think
about
it goes back to the teaching. That cancer is a teaching tool. Just like, you know, my sister always said that Terry was her biggest teacher, and Terry always said that Marissa was her biggest teacher. So I am always, you know, that's my way of living, is to find what lessons are here for me today.
Yeah.
Who's that? Is that homeless guy on the corner asking for money somebody that I'm supposed to pay attention to today?
Yeah.
I mean, you bring it with you through, and that makes the world a better place.
I know.
Loving kindness, self-compassion.
I know. And that's about living in the present moment.
That's all mindfulness.
All mindfulness, all awareness, being aware of every single thing. Is this a teaching moment, or is this, you know, something I can tuck in my back pocket? Like, really, all of it is, I believe that too.
Me too.
All right, well, we have to go to break. I hope you stay with us. We have one more segment. My guest is Lori O'Neill, and you can go to gracefulwomanwarrior.com. Love the name of it. I'm your host, Nicole Perry. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed right here on 95.9 WATD. Hi, I'm Nicole Perry, and I created a great motivational tool for the entrepreneurial, spirited businesswoman called Powerful Women Reflections. Women entrepreneurs deserve to be at the top of our own priority lists, and these cards work similar to tarot cards by providing daily insight and motivation. Powerful Women Reflection cards are perfect to keep your health, business, and future in check. Each powerful deck come with 80 cards of reflection, and you can get your own personal deck today by visiting powerfulwomenrevealed.com.
Since 1894, the Woodward School for Girls in Quincy, Massachusetts was founded to create a sense of community, wholeness, and independence in young women. In their traditional all-girl environment, the Woodward School for Girls has been committed to building confidence in their students through their amazing academic, art, and sport programs for 125 years. Each student at the Woodward School for Girls is encouraged to find their voice by bringing forth their best work ethic so they can learn to lead. Learn more about their rolling admissions at thewoodwardschool.org today.
We are back. You're listening to Powerful Women Revealed. Now, that was one of the songs you chose. Tell me about the song real quick.
Oh, well, Marissa calls it Badia because we would always have kitchen dance parties, me, her, and Terry. And it's just my absolute favorite song. It's the song I came out to at both of my daughter's weddings.
And
everybody, you know, if they're out somewhere, they'll text me, Laurie, your song's on, because it's just, it's my zest for life.
Nice.
It totally represents that. Yeah.
It's a great song. Mm-hmm. Now, who do you want to come to the workshop? You want people that are parents parenting through illness.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what Terry did.
Yeah, she did. And it's a huge challenge. And there's not a lot of information out there. And Terry and I did a lot of, that's my job, is I do grief with kids. That's what I've been doing my whole career. And the key is to open up the conversations with these kids. So Marissa and I did book talks in all the fourth grade classes at her school. She brought her mother to school, Nicole.
Yeah.
I went back to school and I was like a leper. Nobody wanted to talk to me. They were afraid it was catchy. Nobody talked about it. And for Marissa to be able to walk into that classroom and bring her mother with her, it's just beautiful. So these kids, we talked about genre, we talked about publication, but we also talked about the subject that her mom had died.
Yeah.
Every kid almost in her class raised their hand. They all want to talk about it.
Yes.
They just need permission.
And we can't suppress it. And we don't want to teach suppressing it.
No. Yeah. People think that it makes it harder, but it doesn't. It makes it harder when you don't talk about it. So people to come to this workshop are people who want to share their stories, who are looking for a safe space to explore how to manage their grief.
And some of those people look like family caregivers, healthcare and mental health professionals, palliative care professionals, hospice professionals, volunteers. Those are the types of people
that just have lost somebody they love that died. Anybody grieving, you know, I think that this workshop could really help them.
Yeah, I think so too. And I think I could gain value and because it could prepare you for
Well, you know, I went to this thing called Reimagine End of Life. I went to, so Marissa's part of a group called Empower Her, which is Kara Belvin started.
She's been a guest on the show.
Oh, yes. God, I love Kara. She's our family now. As soon as I heard about it, I joined Marissa, and I'm her mentor, actually, so I'm very active. I went to see the HBO Convo series that Kara produced last year on, you know, grief and motherless daughters. Hope Edelman was there, who's like the guru of that. And it was such a moving experience. I didn't realize it was part of Reimagine End of Life, which is a week-long event in San Francisco and now in New York. It's 2 years in the making, where we look at death and dying and living and talking through art, music, storytelling.
Everything.
Fascinating, Nicole.
Everything.
And they're coming back next spring, so I will be there.
So you I don't want to let go because we're almost out of time.
Okay.
I don't want to let go of this, but I want to just mention this because I think that this is really, really important about who you are as a person. You are a self-proclaimed living person living in perpetual curiosity. Mm-hmm. And I think that is just, I love that you said that. I think it's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I wish more people would get curious.
Yeah. I know. But I think that us, those of us that are curious, certainly trigger that in others. Because I know, I mean, people around me.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. They love coming along for the ride with Laurie, with Auntie Laurie, without a doubt.
I get curious.
It's contagious.
A lot. Yeah, it is. It is. Now, what do you hope the listener will take away about death and dying in general?
That we're all on this road together.
Mm.
We're all going to lose somebody that we love, and we are all going to die one day.
Mm.
So it's time to open up these important conversations now. Don't wait until you're, you know,
say
facing.
Say what you need to say.
Yes.
Sang that? John Mayer.
Oh, yeah. See? And
another great song.
Show up and help each other through. That's the key.
Mm.
That connection and support and shared stories is what helps you heal and transform your life.
I have so many pictures on my walls of the families and all of our ancestors before us. And sometimes it's really great to know what the stories are and not to have to make them up.
Yes.
Because I see these pictures on my wall and I don't know all the stories. And sometimes it's nicer to have the actual stories.
Well, that's why this book is so critical, especially for Marissa. It's her legacy from her mother that she's carrying forward. And I want to leave everybody with Terry's big idea, a bold blueprint for a life truly worth living. Now, this was found in her travel journal. She took a spiritual pilgrimage to Europe in middle of chemo. I mean, and she went by herself. She went to Fatima. She was searching and seeking answers. And this is what she wrote. Why not think big, dream big? People may not get you, but the dreamers are the ones who change the world. When you honor yourself, everyone benefits. Better to be true to yourself. Be different. Be unique. Honor your truth.
Mm.
So dance, love, pray, travel, meditate, learn, grow. Be inspired and inspire others. Be good to yourself and others. Find the beauty in life. Nurture your soul. The time has come. Terry Luana De Silva. That's my girl.
Oh, my God. All right. Well, I want to leave you with one final quote. We are out of time. Again, the book is a bold blueprint for navigating the sacred cycles of life, death, and living beyond. You can go to gracefulwomanwarrior.com. Thank you again, Lori, for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me, Nicole.
And here's another beautiful quote by Maya Angelou. Life is not measured by the number of breaths we take, but by the moments that take our breath away. Thank you so much for listening. I hope you will tune in next Sunday after the news at noon. Until then, I'm your host, Nicole Perry. Have a great week, and remember, knowledge is power.